Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, tonight, let's talk guns. It's a sore subject and one that's back in the news after the mass shooting in California last week. But as many point out, it doesn't really seem to leave the news cycle. Here in Illinois, Governor Pritzker signed a bill into law earlier this year that would put more regulation on gun sellers in the state. But how they got to that point is definitely up for political debate, or in this case, legal. The Illinois State Rifle Association has filed a lawsuit. So where are we on gun regulations in the state of Illinois? Richard Pearson, the executive director of the Illinois State Rifle Association, with me tonight. Mr. Pearson, thanks for coming to the studio. I appreciate it.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
First of all, why are you filing the lawsuit?
Well, there are several reasons. First of all, if you've looked at the statistics so far, they've wiped out about 1,211 firearm dealers in the state, which is over half of them.
It's 52%. In 6 months.
Yeah, one day they wiped out that many. And most of them are very small dealers to medium-sized dealers. They serve small communities throughout the state. So these people are just gone. So it actually affects your Second Amendment rights because you have a right to purchase as well as a right to bear arms. You have to be able to get firearms and ammunition. And so it takes all those people right out of the equation.
That's an interesting thought because was that the intention of this bill? Was the intention to say, you know what, let's have less gun sellers in the state of Illinois?
Well, that wasn't the stated intention, but I believe that was the true intention. Yeah, we have all kinds of excuses for doing this, but the real intention was to limit the amount of firearms that people can buy, make it harder for them to buy them, and make them more expensive.
It seems to me that is the straight-up regulation when it comes to what the government can do to take gun control measures, if you will, is to actually make it more expensive, to limit who can sell it, how they sell it, that kind of thing, right?
That's exactly right. But if it happens with firearm dealers, it can happen to anyone.
Right.
So people need to remember that just because you're not in the sights of the government, that doesn't mean you won't be tomorrow.
Okay, I want to come back to that, too, because that's really at the heart of, I think, not just the state of Illinois, but we're seeing that's how states are dealing with their issues on guns and gun control. But the other issue here is a political one that is a little bit of a head-scratcher for me and for others that live in the state of Illinois.
Well, that's true. The bill, which was SB 337, was passed in the 101st General Assembly.
Which was last year.
This in the 100th General Assembly. Now it's 101st. Yeah. So Governor Rauner vetoed the bill. It was brought back up, but it was brought back up in the 101st General Assembly. So it passed from one General Assembly to another, which is not supposed to happen. There's a thing called sign-die, which all bills die. But this one did not because of the Constitution doesn't address this one way or the other.
So essentially, in May of 2018, they passed it. Governor Rauner vetoed it.
Right.
In the fall, they brought it back up, passed it, did not send it to Governor Rauner.
Right.
They held it. This is a new thing that we've seen both the state Senate president and the Speaker of the House. Instead of sending it for the governor to veto or not veto, they're just holding on to it till the time is right. But in this case, it actually turned over to a whole new administration.
That's correct. You can actually hold a bill if there's technical issues with the bill, but there were no technical issues with this bill. This was political issues. And so it was rammed through in that manner. And it's not illegal. It's probably unethical, but what's that got to do with Springfield, right?
But that, I mean, here we go. We're seeing this kind of play out in the way that the administration works in Washington. We're seeing it now at state level where politicians are finding little loopholes and ways around. It may not be necessarily illegal, but they're definitely questionable when it comes to ethics. And this is what happened in the state of Illinois.
That's true. We have a group of people at all legislative levels, whether it's town councils, city councils, Congress, or the state of Illinois, or any other state, that want to micromanage your life, and that's what we're seeing going on right here.
Is there any recourse? Do you feel there's any precedent one way or another that is going to give you an edge when it comes to filing this lawsuit on the grounds of unethical political behavior?
There's no way we can file a lawsuit on unethical political behavior, because if such a thing were to happen, every governmental body would be sued constantly, so we'd all be out of business.
You, as a longtime political player in the state of Illinois, you don't find any beauty in how the Democrats got that through?
Well, you know, I'm just, it's just a fact of life. And I suppose that when you've been around as long as I have, you get callous to it. You expect it. You know, you expect this kind of, I call it political treachery. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the things that happens. It's one of the rules of the game, and you have to play in that ballpark because you can't take the ball and go home. It's their ball.
Well, let's talk about this because at one point, I totally understand it. And it's a head-scratcher, and that's why you're on, because I feel as well that it does fall along unethical standards. It's strange, and I've never heard of holding a bill to a new administration comes in. I didn't think that was even allowed, but it is. But if you're a Democrat leader and you ran on the fact of you wanted to bring some sort of gun control measures to the state of Illinois, you have to see how, if there are ways that are impeding them to get that done, that they are finding loopholes in other ways to get it done.
Well, that's correct. You know, this is one of those things that they've done, you know. So, but we filed suit against this bill, against the implementation of this bill, which will be heard sometime, I hope, soon. But the purpose, we can't file a lawsuit on unethical behavior. There are several things that this violates. We believe it violates the right to keep and bear arms by law-abiding citizens. We are very upset because no law can be put in place in Illinois unless administrative rules are drawn up prior to that with a 90-day comment period. None of that was ever done. There were no rules drawn. There was no 90-day comment period. They just started.
Richard Pearson's my guest. He's the he's the executive director of the Illinois State Rifle Association, which is a state chapter of the NRA. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and I want to talk more with Richard Pearson about guns, gun controls, and the state versus federal, because I find that just reading up on this topic, and it's not something that I spend a lot of time looking into, but seeing how many states across the union, they are deciding to take this up because the federal government isn't. It seems to be that might be what's happening here in the state of Illinois. Richard Pearson, my guest here on Extension 720. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Richard Pearson's here. He's the executive director of the Illinois State Rifle Association. We're talking about guns and specifically the legislation that the Rifle Association has filed a lawsuit against the state of Illinois that Governor Pritzker signed back at the beginning of his tenure in 2019 here. As we have more and more political will or people in this country saying something has to be done about guns, we'll just keep it like that. There seems to be a way that the federal government wants it both ways. The federal government doesn't really, you don't see the Senate wanting to take this up. This is not something that they want to touch. And at the same time, they don't necessarily want the states to take it up themselves. And the states have, the workaround has been, states are coming up with not unlike what we have here in the state of Illinois. From your vantage point as a state association, how do you see it? Do you think that the federal government should be the ones that are making gun laws and the state should follow suit?
Well, we have a federal system of government, so we have both state and federal government. So both of them can take it up. There's no question about that. They can take up easing gun laws as well as making them more restrictive. Nationally, it is a very volatile issue, and people who have run on the anti-gun platform nationally have generally suffered in the end. So it's been the anti-gun idea of the Bloomberg campaign and all their various facets and front groups.
You call it anti-gun?
Anti-gun. They're anti-gun.
You don't think that people would be, like some of that movement, I think of some of the Democratic leaders, don't necessarily send the message that they want guns to go away or they're anti-guns. They just want more control over who gets the gun.
Well, I know, but what they do is they control you out of business. That's the typical thing that happens with governments when they overreach. They control you out of business.
Right.
Years ago in Chicago, when they were running all the gun shops out of Chicago, there was a case in which there was a gun shop in Chicago, and they told the gun shop owner he had to put in a window with bars and glass so the police could see in at night. So he did that. The next year they came back and said, you know, that's a dangerous situation. You have to take it out and brick it all up. And they could never get a restroom to pass inspection, so they harassed you out of business. But just remember, if they can harass one group out of business, they can harass
absolutely.
Every group out
and
of
I think
business.
That, but you see it as more of a small business regulation, in the way that these are small businesses and they have the right to make a living in this country, just like any other small business. The government seems to the tack that they're taking when it comes to the lawmakers who are changing gun laws, is that they're saying the only way to affect change is to regulate those small businesses. So how do we affect change if that's the only way the governments are they're not going to go in and say you can't have a gun. But they're going to find other ways around it to try.
Yeah. They're just going to make it difficult, expensive, or embarrassing to have a firearm.
I understand when you say that, but it seems to me like that might be better than legislation that comes in to try and crack the Constitution and change the amendment.
Well, but in the end, the end is firearm ownership is wiped out. So that's what happens in the end with all of this. If you let it go, if you look at the federal government, I believe right now more. Money comes into the federal government through regulation costs and fines than through taxes. And so what they've actually done is they've found a new way to tax that's mm-hmm. unregulated,
yeah.
And that is to charge you. For example, a small gun shop that's open 1 hour a week has to pay a $1,500 license fee. Okay. If you're open no hours a week and just do things on order, it's $300. But with that comes all kinds of camera requirements, security requirements, and they are told, the gun dealers are told that you have to put in cameras and security, but there are no standards for this. So you could spend $20,000, for example, putting in all this equipment, and since there are no standards, they can come in and say, well, you know, you didn't meet the standard, right. But there is no standard.
But the Pritzker administration, their point on this, and it makes sense to me, they say, listen, we know that the federal government, because Rauner vetoed the bill before saying it was duplicative, meaning the federal government already puts these regulations on gun
right,
owners.
They're already
doing it. But they said the ATF doesn't have time or resources to come and check the gun dealers, and the gun dealers, when they're unchecked, are the ones that may be doing things out of line, selling guns to people who shouldn't have guns, and the next thing you know, that person is shooting up a school. That's, I think, where their logic is to say, and I understand that logic. As someone who's just a centrist who's talking to you and a layman, I get that logic. So what do you think of that logic?
Well, I think that logic is faulty simply because to buy a firearm in Illinois, you have to have a federal firearm owner's identification card. Every night, FOID card holder goes through a background check except for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, and the 4th of July when the courts are closed. If you have a concealed carry permit, you go through two background checks every night. So in Illinois, that's all hokum. If a dealer sells a firearm to a straw purchaser, you know, he's in trouble. He can have his federal license pulled. And if that firearm gets in trouble some way or another, it's traced right back to that dealer.
But the Pritzker administration says that the ATF is not there to be able to get that person in trouble. And that's why it's too late before. So they're trying to do this to be preventative.
That's not true.
You don't think so?
No. That's baloney. Okay. It's not really baloney, but we'll use the word baloney today.
We'll use baloney.
Okay.
Thank you for using baloney.
So, you know, if you go back, you know, they pick on a gun shop or two around here. Those gun shops have never been found to sell a firearm to somebody that wasn't qualified to own one. You go through a federal background check. It's called the National Instant Check System. And then there's the International Justice Information Index, too. Mm-hmm. So they go through all of that. And, you know, it's a thorough check. I know one of the things that's brought up is, well, we got to prevent all this stuff that happened in Aurora.
Right.
Well, what happened in Aurora was awful, and it shouldn't have happened. But as a matter of fact, the state of Mississippi didn't put the data in right. So
the system would have worked.
The system would have worked.
Of Mississippi would have
done. Wasn't an Illinois problem.
Right.
It was a Mississippi problem.
Let me ask you this, Richard, because I rarely have this conversation on the air because I think it gets very volatile. It becomes partisan. You have one side that is listening right now and texting in furiously, and another side that's texting in, right?
I'll get hate mail in the morning, right?
Of course, right. But let me ask you, just from someone who doesn't have party affiliation, doesn't necessarily subscribe to liberal politics, doesn't subscribe to conservative politics, is recognizing what's happening in this country and sees that there are mass shootings at the clip that we are talking about, and happens seems like every third day in this country. What can be done about this? If the state of Illinois is trying to do it this way and they're strangling small businesses and they're not getting the intended effect that they wanted, from your vantage point at the Illinois State Rifle Association, what can we do?
The first thing you do is when you have a straw purchaser, and Cook County is one of the leading problems in the country, maybe the leading problem, they never punish them. In 2008, we passed an enhanced Straw Purchase Act. We already had Straw Purchase Acts. Mm-hmm. So when they say that we need this latest deal to prevent straw purchasers. That isn't true. We've done this twice. We enhanced the penalties in 2008. But when you go to the Cook County court system, see how many straw purchasers have actually been prosecuted. Maybe one or two. It's a first charge plea bargained away. It's a reduced sentence. We have a woman, for example, that bought four firearms, sold two to gangbangers, and she got 6 months probation and worked for the county sheriff for 2 weeks. You could get, for four guns, you could get 28 years for that. And she got 6 months probation and worked for the sheriff's department.
So you believe that mandatory minimums and the concept of if you're caught with an illegal firearm, you need to go to jail.
Well, that's true. But the problem with mandatory minimums are they just plea bargain them down anyway. You know, so you say, well, we're enforcing the laws, and so we're going to throw the book at them, and then they're never charged.
Okay, and that's one area, Richard. There's no doubt the gun problems and gun violence in Chicago is out of control, and someone needs to step up. If not one, all of us need to step up and fix it. The other issue which we see in this country is what happened in California this week, or what happened at Parkland in Florida, or what happened to Sandy Hook. This concept of a lone gunman coming in, being able to purchase a gun, being mentally unstable, and ruining people's lives, taking countless numbers of children and others with them. So what do we do about that when it comes to guns and gun control?
Well, one of the things you have to look at is almost every one of these, including the one in California, was in a gun-free zone. So people who have concealed carry permits can't defend themselves because they can't take a gun into a gun-free zone.
But, this guy, they push back on in California because the police were on that guy in a minute.
California.
Right.
But the guy wanted to do that, so he cut a hole in the fence and passed the gun. Somebody passed the gun to him through the fence. Okay, so it's a gun-free zone. They wanted everybody. Still, somebody got in and do that. When you have people with malice in their heart, they're going to commit mayhem. There's not much you can do about it. But you can defend yourself. For example, in the recent robbery in Virginia Beach, two gunmen came into a convenient food mart, and knowing that 7-Eleven people can't defend themselves, but there was a concealed carry permit holder, and he shot. Both gunmen were killed, or shot, not killed. Well, so you have to defend yourself. People say, well, the police will be there. You've got about 15 seconds maximum to defend yourself. The police in California got there in about a minute, which is wonderful, but there are already three dead people.
What do you say to the fact that that's just more guns? You hear this response all the time when you talk about arming teachers, or there's just more guns and more opportunity for things to go awry.
Well, I don't believe that's true. Right now, we have about 500 million guns in the United States. Probably a few get in trouble each year, but they get in trouble every day, but they get in trouble because of people, not because of the firearms. If you look at the FOID card holders in the state of Illinois, look at the crime rate among FOID card holders in Illinois. It is practically zero. You can count them actually by number. You can't statistically measure it because nobody can get the number that small.
Well, Richard, I hope you come back on the show because I am fascinated by this topic, and thank you for coming on and talking about your point of view and the point of view of the Illinois State Rifle Association. Richard Pearson, the Executive Director of the Illinois State Rifle Association here in the state of Illinois. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.